And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Let's stop talking about politics and wokeness and stuff for a minute. Let's talk about something we can all get our hands around, a little sports. This is where we like to dive in and get some sports trivia, some sports facts and figures, and some sports knowledge that comes from somebody who knows it better than I do. I can just tell you that. Many of y'all may not know, but JP is not just a pretty face. He's not just the guy that knows how to push buttons in the studio. He actually has his own sports show on Saturday mornings on the Ump out of Huntsville. He and Kelsey do Off the Bench. Mm-hmm. What, 9 to 11?
9 to 11. We go through our list of 10 games, top 10 games for the day, break them down, and then we're always joined by a guest picker to end the show. And we were delighted to be joined by Tupperville last week. It was a great interview, and delighted to be joined by a singer and songwriter this week. Kelsey's friend is Brandon Elder, who'll be joining us.
That's cool.
So yeah, we're excited to have him on, and make sure you tune in.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's hit some of this JP on sports. Give me a sound effect. You ready? JP on sports. All right, let's do it. So we do this thing in two phases, right? The first section, we call it the three and out. Mm-hmm. You give us our top three, and then we come back from the break, and you do the two-minute warnings. Three and out, brother, go.
Well, we got a big game in the SEC this week of Tennessee versus Georgia. This game has a lot of SEC championship implications. If off the top of my head, I believe correctly, if Georgia wins, Alabama has a significant chance of being in the SEC championship against Texas. But if Tennessee wins, it's a high likelihood that it would be Tennessee versus Texas. I believe in that scenario. I've seen about like 10 different scenarios on Twitter of this happens, then this will be the championship, you know. But from my recollection, from what I understand, if you're an Alabama fan, you want Alabama in the SEC championship, you need to be rooting for Georgia this weekend.
So you got to root for Georgia now.
Well, the question is too, if you're an Alabama fan, do you want Alabama in the SEC championship game? Because if they lose that game, they'll get three losses, probably get bumped out of the playoffs. So you almost would rather them not make the SEC championship game and be safe with two losses. But nevertheless, let's get out of the weeds here a little bit.
Do you have a chart in your head where you see all this? Because I had trouble even tracking some of that. You see all that?
No, it's just what I pay attention to, you know. But you know, like I said, big game of Georgia versus Tennessee. Georgia coming off of a rough loss to Ole Miss at Ole Miss. They played really bad.
Yeah.
So they're looking to bounce back from that. Tennessee has been on a roll. Their only loss is to Arkansas this season, although they've had some nail biters that maybe should not have been nail biters and maybe let Mississippi State hang around for three quarters when they shouldn't have. They're still, you know, on a roll, but they got to go play Georgia this weekend. So that's a tough game. But yeah, this is the game. I'd say this is the game so far this year with the most amount of SEC championship implications that surround it. After this game, we'll have a pretty good idea who will be in it, unless some crazy stuff happens.
You going to make a prediction on it?
Man.
Come on.
I don't know. Right? This is a hard one to decide. I'm kind of leaning Georgia because if I remember correctly, it's at Athens. It'll be at Georgia. So yeah, if that is... If that is, I'll probably be leaning Georgia, but Tennessee is a hard team to beat. Even though they maybe haven't played their best football as of late, they're still pulling out wins, and yep, it is at Georgia. So I'm kind of leaning Georgia, but it may be the Bama and me wanting to see Bama in the SEC championship.
All right, so Georgia, between the hedges, got a chance to jimmy up everybody's life.
Yep, and if Georgia wins and some chaos happens, they may slip into the SEC championship. Who knows? But they're on the bubble. They're not even in the playoffs right now. You know, The playoff committee did their latest rankings on Tuesday, and Georgia is on the outside looking in right now, which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But you got teams like Indiana in there who, while they're undefeated, have not even played or have not even beaten a bowl-eligible team yet this year. So it's like, There's a lot of controversy on that, but yeah, Georgia, if they win this one, hopefully they can slip into the playoffs. If you're a Dogs fan.
A lot of recreational weed going on in the in the decision making.
Yeah,
just saying.
Yeah.
All right, that's number one of the three and out. Number two, what you got?
Well, both Alabama and Auburn have. I wouldn't call them cupcake games, but they're it's a nice break for them. But still, you got to talk about the Alabama-Mercer game because Mercer right now is they've only got one loss on the year, and they're number one in the SoCon, which is the conference with Chattanooga in it and some other teams I can't remember off the top of my head. But they're even though you look at, oh, it's Mercer, it's not really a cakewalk. You know, they're a good Mercer team. I think they're averaging around the same amount of points per game as Alabama is. So granted, they're playing not as good competition, but they're still a solid football team. But Alabama coming off of that dominant win against LSU, if you're an Alabama fan, you got to be encouraged because you saw the play calling shift from trying to be cute to let's just do what works and let's do it over and over and over again and until they stop it, which was Jalen Milroe running the football, did really well in that game. LSU could not stop him. So I would like to see them do that more often of QB runs and let Jalen use his feet to beat the opposing team. So we'll see if they continue that in the Mercer game. And then after that, you got Oklahoma at Norman, and then it's the Iron Bowl. It's creeping up on us. The Iron Bowl is coming up pretty soon. So, but yeah, even though it's Mercer, they're still a really good group of five team to go up against.
All right, but you said Auburn was one of the games that was a cupcake too. So did you mention much about Auburn and La Monroe this weekend?
No, not really.
Are you going to predict Auburn with a win? Like maybe finally?
Yes. Well, I had them beating Vanderbilt, and I said if they didn't do that, then I probably wouldn't predict them to win the rest of the year. And so, but I'll predict them to beat La Monroe. I would hope they could do that. They've had a rough go of things.
Listen,
as of lately.
I predict nothing.
Yeah.
I defer. I just go ahead and say, wow.
With college football and the chaos of this year, it's hard to predict much. But I think an Alabama win against Mercer and then an Auburn win against La Monroe will, I think those are pretty safe.
All right.
I would hope so.
Three and out. That's two. What's number three?
Well, I guess you rope in number three talking about Auburn, but I have to say we don't have a great slate of games in college football this week. Not a lot of ranked opponents. A lot of teams have quote cupcake games. I think the only really good game is the Alabama-Tennessee game. But I want to take this chance to talk about the playoff rankings right now because as we're getting closer to the end of the year, we're starting to see a clearer picture of what it may look like. Come playoff season. Of who's going to be where, and like I said earlier, there's been a lot of controversy with certain teams being where they are because I saw Saban on McAfee's show today talking about this. It seems with the 12-team playoffs, they're not taking into account as much strength of schedule and who teams have beaten because you got, like I said, Penn State hasn't beaten a ranked opponent yet this year. And when they beat Illinois, I believe they're ranked, but Illinois is not ranked anymore. So as of the current rankings, Penn State doesn't have a ranked win under the belt, and they lost to Ohio State at home, and yet they're sitting at number four. And then you got Georgia with the amount of quality wins they have at sitting at 12 with the number one ranked strength of schedule.
Wow.
And even though they're at 12 with how the rankings set up of it's really complicated, but they're on the outside looking in right now. So a lot of controversy around that. Alabama right now is sitting at a 10, which they control their own destiny. If they win out, they'll be locked in. But then begs the question of if they make the conference championship, will they lose and get bounced out? So all that to say that there's been a lot of discussion with the college football playoff with how the rankings are shifting out. And it appears that they're taking less of a they're putting less weight on strength of schedule and more weight on rankings, which goes back to the BCS way of things, which is what they kind of wanted to get away from with the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it'll need some with the 12-team playoff, it'll need some some adjusting. And like what Saban talked about this morning, how college basketball has an RPI system of they have an algorithm sort of thing that put strength of schedule at an emphasis, and that's how they rank things. And we'd like to see that in the playoffs rankings. But all that to be said, coming to the end of the season, we're getting a better view on how it may look.
Is the bowl rankings? I mean, is it more science or more art?
It's more art. It has been more art, but it's like I said, is kind of looking to be more of ranking, or excuse me, records than the eye test.
Yeah.
Which is why we implemented playoffs in the first place, to get away from just the pure sides algorithm spit out the best two teams. So I mean, I don't have too many gripes, but there are, you know, Indiana being at 5 and Georgia being at 13, I believe, or 12 or 13 on the outside looking in, doesn't seem right.
Where's Army right now?
Army, so they were at 25, I believe.
25.
They jumped up to 24 this week.
Okay.
But if they win the conference championship, they get an automatic bid in. So
okay. It's still crazy.
They still have an opportunity to do that.
So I'm an Army guy now. I'm still rooting Army because I've got more to look at and root for right now than I usually do.
It's fun having Army be good. You know, it seems like the last time they were this good was like the 40s. So it's been a long, long time.
It's because Trump got elected.
Maybe that is. maybe the Service Academy. It's funny. I saw a funny tweet of, you know, there was the scandal of Michigan sign stealing, and they reverted to earpiece communications. And somebody tweets something of like, you mean the first year where they've had ear, communications that appear to be more hackable, that the Army and the Navy are both coincidentally good in the same year, where they study, you know, espionage, you know, at the universities, you know, is this a coincidence? Are they hacking the systems?
Things that make you go, Yeah. All right, brother, that's three and out. Top three are there. We're going to come back. We do a thing with JP on sports we call the 2-minute warning. He has a variety of topics that cover the gamut of sports, and he has 2 minutes on each one. I time it. We hit a buzzer even. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More JP on sports when we get back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going back to round two of JP on sports. This is where we mix it up a little bit. He comes in with all kinds of topics. We call it the 2-minute warning. I actually keep a timer. There's a buzzer that sounds if he exceeds 2 minutes on a topic. 2-minute warnings. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Take it.
Well, we got a big-time basketball game tonight, like I talked about earlier with John Paul, of number 2 Alabama versus number 13 Purdue at Purdue tonight at 6 o'clock. This starts this brutal stretch for Alabama schedule-wise. So they got to play number 13 Purdue tonight. They got Illinois and Birmingham after that, and then they got to play Houston, who's number 8, and then Rutgers, who's number 24, in a tournament in Vegas. Then they got to play at number 10 North Carolina, and then they got number 14 Creighton at home. So that is that's a gauntlet of 6 games coming up right now for Alabama, and it starts tonight. But they've started off the season undefeated. They have not shot very well to start the year. They've maybe let some teams like Arkansas State hang around for a little bit longer than for Alabama fans is liking. But still, I think this team is going to be just fine. I mean, the roster is just stacked, and eventually, I mean, they're not going to be cold shooting for long, and hopefully they start that streak of getting back into it, shooting against Purdue tonight, and starting off this brutal gauntlet with a win. But yeah, it's... Some people are talking about this is the roughest stretch of any schedule of anybody in the country. I mean, you're playing 6 ranked teams. That's rough. But also on the flip side of things, Auburn is they got a big win against Houston, who I believe was ranked top 5 maybe at the time that they beat them, and it was at Houston. So it's a big time win for Auburn, and they shot up in the rankings too after that. So both teams in the state of Alabama, like I've said all this time, they're really good. But right now we may be seeing a top 5 matchup for Alabama and Auburn, the Iron Bowl on the court. So we got Alabama at number 2 right now and Auburn at number 5, with 2 people voted for Auburn to be number 1 in that ranking. So
nice.
The iBob, the Iron Bowl of basketball this year. It's going to be a matchup for everybody across the country watching.
When's that date going to be?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know SEC conference play starts around January, so early winter. It'll be interesting to see. That'd be fun. Normally the Iron Bowl of football is what gets the most attention, but it's fun for the iBob of Iron Bowl of basketball getting some attention.
What would it take for us to do a live stream from the iBob?
Now we're talking. That would be fun.
I'm sorry, you'd have to be back here pushing buttons while I'm down there at the courtside. I'm sorry. All right. Oh, dang. We ran past the two. I just let you just You just got 2 minutes and a half almost. All right, let me reset the clock and pay better attention this time. So 2 minute warning, go.
Well, we got a text earlier about it. We got Mike Tyson fighting tonight.
Come on.
Against Jake Paul.
58 years old.
Yeah, it's, you know, I got to be honest, I was not very thrilled about this fight when it was announced, and I still don't know quite how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about a 58-year-old Mike Tyson fighting a young 20-something-year-old Jake Paul who is jacked up on steroids, and Mike Tyson has nothing to add to his legacy with this win. Jake Paul has everything to add to his legacy for this win.
Will Tyson bite his ear?
That, you know, I'm not sure about that, but we saw yesterday at the face-off, Jake Paul accidentally stepped on Mike Tyson's toe, and Tyson slapped him really hard.
I just watched
And yeah, slapped him really hard. So Tyson is very amped up for this fight. He's talking about the Mike Tyson of old is coming back. Now we'll see if he's physically capable to do that, but the mindset is there at least.
How many rounds are they supposed to
go? So they got 8 2-minute rounds.
Eight rounds.
Yep, okay. 8 2-minute rounds, and they're fighting in 14-ounce gloves, which is a lot more padding than normal, but it is a sanctioned professional bout, so this fight will go on both of their professional records.
Is Jake Paul, is he ranked right now?
No, he's not. Okay. So that's the thing. All of Jake Paul's fights have kind of been gimmick fights like this. It's more of a money grab where Jake Paul has everything to gain, Mike Tyson has everything to lose. So I'm not a big fan of it, and I have no idea. If you ask me for a prediction, I have no idea.
But there's a loser's purse. I mean, even Mike Tyson walks away with money, and I've heard that he was almost to the point of bankruptcy at some point in recent years.
So I'm sure they offered him a boatload of money, but I don't want to see a 58-year-old Mike Tyson get beat up on. That would be really depressing.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, it's not like he's a good guy. I mean, maybe he is. I've heard that he's a good guy now, but I mean, old boy's got some.
He's got a past.
Some baggage.
He's got a past.
Yeah, he's a biter. He's an abuser. He's been a convicted felon. He's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So there's the purse right there. Estimated payouts. Jake Paul's looking at $40 million, and Mike Tyson's looking at $20 million payout. Okay. I'll go in the ring.
Yeah, no, I think we just saw the reason he's getting in the ring right there.
I think we just saw it. All right, and there it is. Bam. 2 minute warning. All right, next, what's on your list?
Well, I saw this stat earlier, and I thought this was really interesting. So Kalen DeBoer is looking to be the first Alabama head coach to get 8 wins in his first season since 1983. And that includes Nick Saban, who didn't even get 8 wins in his first season at Alabama. And they're playing Mercer this weekend, so it would cause people to assume that he's going to get that. But I just think that's I think that's interesting of you laugh. It wasn't that I just think that's interesting a lot. You know, he's gotten a lot of criticism after the loss to Vanderbilt and also the loss to Tennessee of people talking about how Saban needs to come back. He's not doing a good job and, you know, freaking out about Kalen DeBoer. But you see that stat and then realize that he's probably about to achieve something that Nick Saban himself didn't even achieve. And we're seeing a shift of how Alabama's been playing as of late, and it seems to be the Alabama of old. So, you know, you see that stat the first time since 1983 that an Alabama coach has gotten 8 wins in their first season. That's an impressive stat. So maybe that stat will ease some Bama fans' tension, which I think it did after the win against LSU anyways.
But. You know what one of the key differences is Saban did not have to start off with social media. Social media, I think a lot, just like, you know, I said the word earlier, chatter. Yeah. I think some of the Kalen DeBoer chatter right now is because everybody can chatter.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Chatter is louder nowadays.
Yeah, it's louder and more prolific.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he'd also learned his lesson about wearing a T-shirt on the sidelines.
You know, maybe there's that too. If you're going to lose, then don't lose wearing a sloppy T-shirt.
All right. Is that the music?
That's the music.
And you came in right at the buzzer. So hit the buzzer, man. You got it. All right, listen, we're headed to a break. That's JP on sports. Coming back, I'm going to call an audible myself here. We're going to stop the madness. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.